Wormholes and black holes. Besides stretching space, the second possible way to break the light barrier is by ripping space via wormholes, passageways that connect two universes. In fiction, the first mention of a wormhole came from Oxford mathematician Charles Dodgson, who wrote Through the Looking Glass under the pen name Lewis Carroll. The looking glass of Alice is the wormhole, connecting the countryside of Oxford with the magical world of Wonderland. By placing her hand through the looking glass, Alice can be transported instantly from one universe to the next. Mathematicians call these multiply connected spaces. The concept of wormholes in physics dates back to 1916, 1 year after Einstein published his epic general theory of relativity. Physicist Karl Schwarzschild, then serving in the Kaiser's army, was able to solve Einstein's equations exactly for the case of a single point-like star. Far from the star, its gravitational field was very similar to that of an ordinary star. And in fact, Einstein used Schwarzschild's solution to calculate the deflection of light around a star. Schwarzschild's solution had an immediate and profound impact on astronomy. And even today, it is one of the best-known solutions of Einstein's equations. For generations, physicists used the gravitational field around this point-like star as an approximation to the field around a real star, which has a finite diameter. But if you took this point-like solution seriously, then lurking at the center of it was a monstrous point-like object that has shocked and amazed physicists for almost a century, a black hole. Schwarzschild's solution for the gravity of a point-like star was like a Trojan horse. On the outside, it looked like a gift from heaven. But on the inside, there lurked all sorts of demons and ghosts. But if you accepted one, you had to accept the other. Schwarzschild's solution showed that as you approached this point-like star, bizarre things happened. Surrounding the star was an invisible sphere called the event horizon. That was a point of no return. Everything checked in, but nothing could check out, like a Roach Motel. Once you passed through the event horizon, you never came back. Once inside the event horizon, you would have to travel faster than light to escape back outside the event horizon, and that would be impossible. As you approach the event horizon, your atoms would be stretched by tidal forces. The gravity felt by your feet would be much greater than the gravity felt by your head, so you would be spaghettified and then ripped apart. Similarly, the atoms of your body would also be stretched and torn apart by gravity. To an outside observer, watching you approach the event horizon, it would appear that you were slowing down in time. In fact, as you hit the event horizon, it would appear that time had stopped. Furthermore, as you fell past the event horizon, you would see light that has been trapped and circulating around this black hole for billions of years. It would seem as if you were watching a motion picture film, detailing the entire history of the black hole, going back to its very origin. And finally, if you could fall straight through to the black hole, there would be another universe on the other side. This is called the Einstein-Rosen Bridge. First introduced by Einstein in 1935, it is now called a wormhole. Einstein and other physicists believed a star could never evolve naturally into such a monstrous object. In fact, in 1939, Einstein published a paper showing that a circulating mass of gas and dust will never condense into such a black hole. So although there was a wormhole lurking in the center of a black hole, he was confident that such a strange object could never form by natural means. In fact, astrophysicist Arthur Eddington once said that there should be a law of nature to prevent a star from behaving in this absurd way. In other words, the black hole was indeed a legitimate solution of Einstein's equations, but there was no known mechanism that could form one by natural means. All this changed with the advent of a paper by J. Robert Oppenheimer and his student Hartland Snyder, written that same year, showing that black holes can indeed be formed by natural means. They assumed that a dying star had used up its nuclear fuel and then collapsed under gravity, so that it imploded under its own weight. If gravity could compress the star to within its event horizon, then nothing known to science could prevent gravity from squeezing the star to a point particle, the black hole. This implosion method may have given Oppenheimer the clue for building the Nagasaki bomb just a few years later, which depends on imploding a sphere of plutonium. The next breakthrough came in 1963, when New Zealand mathematician Roy Kerr examined perhaps the most realistic example of a black hole. Objects spin faster as they shrink, in much the same way that skaters spin faster when they bring in their arms close to their body. As a result, black holes should be spinning at fantastic rates. Kerr found that a spinning black hole would not collapse into a point-like star, as Schwarzschild assumed, but would collapse into a spinning ring. Anyone unfortunate enough to hit the ring would perish, but someone falling into the ring would not die, but would actually fall through. But instead of winding up on the other side of the ring, he or she would pass through the Einstein-Rosen bridge and wind up in another universe. In other words, the spinning black hole is the rim of Alice's looking glass. If he or she were to move around the spinning ring a second time, he or she would enter yet another universe. In fact, repeated entry into the spinning ring would put a person in different parallel universes, much like hitting the up button on an elevator. In principle, there could be an infinite number of universes, each stacked on top of each other. Pass through this magic ring and presto! You're in a completely different universe where radius and mass are negative, Kerr wrote. There is an important catch, however. Black holes are examples of non-transversible wormholes. That is, passing through the event horizon is a one-way trip. Once you pass through the event horizon and the Kerr ring, you cannot go backward through the ring and out through the event horizon. But in 1988, Kip Thorne and colleagues at Caltech found an example of a transversible wormhole, that is, one through which you could pass freely back and forth. In fact, for one solution, the travel through a wormhole would be no worse than riding on an airplane. Normally, gravity would crush the throat of the wormhole, destroying the astronauts trying to reach the other side. That is one reason that faster-than-light travel through a wormhole is not possible. But the repulsive force of negative energy or negative mass could conceivably keep the throat open sufficiently long to allow astronauts a clear passage. In other words, negative mass or energy is essential for both the Alcubierre drive and the wormhole solution. In the last few years, an astonishing number of exact solutions have been found to Einstein's equations that allow for wormholes. But do wormholes really exist? Or are they just a figment of mathematics? There are several major problems facing wormholes. First, to create the violent distortions of space and time necessary to travel through a wormhole, one would need fabulous amounts of positive and negative matter, on the order of a huge star or a black hole. Matthew Visser, a physicist at Washington University, estimates that the amount of negative energy you would need to open up a 1-meter wormhole is comparable to the mass of Jupiter, except that it would need to be negative. He says, you need about minus 1 Jupiter mass to do the job. Just manipulating a positive Jupiter mass of energy is already pretty freaky, well beyond our capabilities into the foreseeable future. Kip Thorne of the California Institute of Technology speculates, it will turn out that the laws of physics do allow sufficient exotic matter in wormholes of human size to hold the wormhole open. But it will also turn out that the technology for making wormholes and holding them open is unimaginably far beyond the capabilities of our human civilization. Second, we do not know how stable these wormholes would be. The radiation generated by these wormholes might kill anyone who enters. Or perhaps the wormholes would not be stable at all, closing as soon as one entered them. Third, light beams falling into the black hole would be blue-shifted. That is, they would attain greater and greater energy as they came close to the event horizon. In fact, At the event horizon itself, light is technically infinitely blue shifted. So the radiation from this infalling energy could kill anyone in a rocket. Let's discuss these problems in some detail. One problem is to amass enough energy to rip the fabric of space and time. The simplest way to do this is to compress an object until it becomes smaller than its event horizon. For the Sun, this means compressing it down to about 2 miles in diameter, whereupon it will collapse into a black hole. The Sun's gravity is too weak to compress it naturally down to 2 miles, so our Sun will never become a black hole. In principle, this means that anything, even you, can become a black hole if you were sufficiently compressed. This would mean compressing all the atoms of your body to smaller than subatomic distances, a feat that is beyond the capabilities of modern science. A more practical approach would be to assemble a battery of laser beams to fire an intense beam at a specific spot, or to build a huge atom smasher to create 2 beams, which would then collide with each other at fantastic energies, sufficient to create a small tear in the fabric of space-time.